On this President's Day weekend, we're going to Montpelier, the former home of President James Madison and his wife Dolly Madison. The house doesn't look anything like it did in Madison's day because many years ago it was bought and expanded by the wealthy DuPont family. Now, the National Trust for Historic Preservation is trying to restore it, as Martha Woodroof of member station WMRA reports.
It's an astonishingly beautiful spot, even by Virginia Hunt Country standards. 2,700 acres of rolling farmland and gardens. It's easy to understand why Dolly Madison attempted to stay on the plantation after her husband's death, in spite of her mounting financial difficulties. And, to skip forward a century and a half, why Marion DuPont Scott's marriage to actor Randolph Scott foundered in part over the question of where the couple would live. Mrs. Scott simply had no desire to leave Montpelier, her home since the age of eight. The estate had changed would live. Mrs. Scott simply had no desire to leave Montpelier, her home since the age of eight. The estate had changed quite a bit during the DuPont years. Mrs. Scott's parents, William and Annie, had doubled the size of the original Madison house and built dozens of other structures on the estate.
These are buildings that were put up in the early 1900s by William DuPont for his workers.
Randy Hewitt, Director of Communications for the Montpelier Foundation.
This was a power plant. Electricity was generated here, wasn't hooked up to the main power grid until the 1930s, I think. There was a sawmill, there was a forge. I mean, it was basically, we say we have one of everything here. It was a self-contained village.
Marion DuPont Scott herself made Montpelier the center of Orange County social life when she built two racetracks and issued an open invitation to the annual running of the Montpelier Hunt Race. But she was always well aware that at the core of her 55-room mango-stuccoed home lurked the much simpler 22-room brick home of James and Dolly Madison. When she died, she deposited Montpelier on the doorstep of the National Trust and expressed the wish in her will that the estate be restored in such a manner as to conform as nearly as possible with the architectural pattern which existed when said property was owned and occupied by President Madison, and be made available to the general public as an historic shrine. Michael Quinn is president of the Montpelier Foundation. He says that when the house first opened to the public in 1987, there simply wasn't enough information in place to permit even considering a Madison restoration.
Our first step was, in fact, to spend almost 2 years and nearly $1 million investigating the house. It was a combination of research and literally probing into the structure and materials in the house itself, cutting holes in the house, analyzing paint, analyzing plaster and mortar, dating nails by their construction technology.
John Jeans is Associate Director of Restoration. It was his job to discover any Madison architectural pieces that remained within the DuPont house.
You can just about date when the nail was made by looking at it under a microscope and seeing the grain of the nail, also seeing how it's pinched. And you can certainly know by the patents that a certain nail did not appear prior to a certain date. It helps you to define what, for example, the date of a particular piece of trim might have been.
And then there are the distinctive window casings left in 1809 by James Dinsmore and John Nielsen, master carpenters recommended to James Madison by fellow Virginian Thomas Jefferson.
You see that joint that comes over, it's a miter, it's on a 45-degree angle. And then all of a sudden, it goes straight up. We're calling that a vertical hip miter. In this house, all of the 1809 trim has that particular detail.
This study, funded by the estate of Paul Mellon, a longtime friend of Mrs. Scott's, combined a comprehensive hands-on-the-house exploration with extensive archaeological digging. It showed that the DuPonts had carefully preserved the Madison legacy, reusing many Madison doors and windows in their own additions. It also produced a daunting amount of data. Enter the most high-tech part of the restoration team, the Architectural Research Department, headed by Alfredo Mall. He's been working on computer models of the mansion since early 2003.
They represent all of the information that we have collected during our research for the past few years, I think. So they're very comprehensive analytical tools that we're putting all this information into. And instead of having a 2,500-page report, we have one computer model that shows all these little pieces of evidence, photographs, text, and measurements.
Which means that on Director Michael Quinn's computer, it's now possible to view an accurately measured three-dimensional version of the mansion as it was when James and Dolly Madison lived there. You can even peek in the windows and get a sense of the interior space. With this detailed mock-up on hand, the Montpelier Foundation felt able to accept another gift from the Mellon Estate, this one for $20 million, and give the go-ahead to begin tearing down the DuPont additions to reveal Mr. Madison's house. But what self-respecting visitor would want to wander around empty rooms, no matter how structurally authentic? What about Dolly Madison's authentic decor? Again, Lee Langston Harrison, Montpelier's curator, didn't have much of a written record to work with, but she did have journal entries, letters, and memoirs.
Margaret Baird Smith in 1828 writes about coming to Montpelier. She's drenched, she's wet from driving in an open carriage. She gets here, and Dolly hauls her off into her elegant little chamber, made sure she's undressed by a slave, and then brings her into her bedchamber, where they sit up in a bed in their chemises, and they read and tell stories, and they eat pineapple, and they drink wine all day. And Margaret Baird Smith happened to mention that the walls were resplendent in crimson. So, yahoo! We now know we have crimson!
While the Madison House is reemerging, the DuPont era is not being obliterated. The locally popular Montpelier hunt races will still be run, and the DuPont family's presence will be carefully preserved in a new on-site museum. Montpelier will be open for tours throughout the Madison reconstruction process, scheduled to be finished in 4 or 5 years. It's a rare chance to see this kind of meticulous restoration work in progress. For NPR News, I'm Martha Woodruff.